You can model Jesus in your life for your son. And I prayed as I went along the way that that man would come to know Jesus. And my heart kind of softened. My heart kind of changed on that day. So what kind of things determine how you treat other people? Probably a good place to start is how they're treating you, right? What determines how you treat other people? How they've treated you in the past? What about what they deserve and what they don't deserve? Or even, what can I get out of the deal? What about whether we know them or not? What about how we're feeling? Maybe we're tired. Maybe we're cranky. Maybe the world has turned south on us, so to speak, and we've had a bad week. Are we going to kick the cat when we get home type of thing, you know? Are we pressured for time? Are other people watching? Will that affect how we treat other people? Church, Jesus, our Lord today, is going to simply remind us that how we treat other people is really, really important. So our text for today will come from Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. Jesus, who declares in John chapter 14, verse 6, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, here's what He's got to say about this. He says, in everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you, for this is the law and the prophets. Basically, I wanted to take time today to talk to you specifically about this one verse, about how we treat other people. Jesus says, treat other people the way that you want to be treated. Now this is usually called what? The golden rule, right? Perhaps golden because of its realized tremendous value. Interestingly enough, a great number, because I didn't count how many, I didn't do all the math, a great many of religions today, no matter what their religion is based on, encompasses or incorporates the golden rule as a part of their theology, the way they think about godliness. Even non-Christians find great value in the golden rule. For instance, my grandfather. My mother's dad was a proclaimed atheist. He just didn't believe in God. But I heard him say this myself, that he found the golden rule to be the basis that he was going to live his life by, treating other people the same way that he wanted to be treated himself. So even non-Christians see a great value in the words of Jesus here. But what seems so easily understood can be kind of complicated. Now here's what I mean. The basic question here is, how do you want to be treated? Well, now here's what I've done for the last 42 years of my life. As I've thought about this passage, I just want to be treated good, right? Let it go at that. We've made the point. Move on, right? But that's a pretty vague answer, and I want to tell you that's not good enough. I think that the Lord wants us to stop and to really give some attention to how we want to be treated and not breeze by this question too fast. And I found all this out when I sat down for what I thought would be a couple of minutes to define how I wanted to be treated, and that couple of minutes turned into hours, to prayers, to a little bit of lost sleep at night, And it took me several days to get some understanding about how I wanted to be treated. Frankly, my struggle with answering the question how I want to be treated disturbed me a little bit. Anybody in their right mind, according to my little thinking, ought to be able to just pop that right out of here. You know, this is how I want to be treated. But I really slowed down. I really spent some time on this. And here's how Dan wants to be treated. Okay? I would like to be treated with grace. I would like to be treated with mercy and forgiveness. I would like to be treated with kindness and gentleness. I would like to be respected. I would like to be valued as a person. I would like for people to be patient with me. But at the same time, I would like for people to be truthful and honest with me. Because sometimes I need to hear things that aren't pleasant. I would like to be encouraged. I would like to have people be caring toward me. I would like for people to protect me, to guide me, and ultimately, I would like for people to love me. Hopefully, as I describe those things, you understood that that's how I would like to be treated. I think Jesus wants each and every one of us to sit down with some thoughtful prayer and consideration and make your own list about how you would like to be treated. Do this as an exercise. After applying myself in understanding about how I wanted to be treated, it came to me just suddenly that I've been the sort that always tried to please others to the point that I've never really stopped and thought about how I wanted to be treated. I just breezed by it fast and said, I want to be treated good. But I didn't ever really stop. A lot of times I tend to be a people pleaser in a lot of ways to the point that I never really stopped and said, okay, let me get serious with this. Let me really make a list here. Let me get down to the bare bones of the thing and say, how is it that I want to be treated? 42 years I've spent on this earth, almost, here next month. 42 years I've spent, and I've never really sat down and said, you know what, here's how I want to be treated. I want to tell you something, church, Satan likes that. Satan likes that because if I don't know how I want to be treated, how in the world can I treat you right? This is what Jesus is pointing to. Satan loves to work us against our surroundings, against people we love. And what Jesus is saying here, well, you really need to ask yourself, how is it that I want to be treated? Because that has all bearing, all effect on the way you treat the people that are around you. I wished I had answered this question a long time ago because it would have saved me from a lot of problems in life and I would have accomplished a lot more work for the Lord. Tuesday, Glenn and Dave Engel and myself went fishing. I call it a spiritual retreat. And Brother Engel, in case you don't know, is the fishing guru among us, maybe only second to his father. So we launched out for this fishing trip, and we went to some place, I don't have a clue where it was. And then we ended up at this other place called Otter Creek, is that right? You otter fish in Otter Creek. We had a really good time, spent a lot of time by myself thinking. That's a good thing. But when we left that place, the most interesting thing happened. I had told these guys I was looking for a sermon illustration, and they had given me none. No one fell in the water. No one rowed against an anchor. There was nothing. But God provided, because we turned left instead of right. Now, here's what I mean by that. Engle is driving because that's his territory, you know. He was chauffeuring us. We turned left and went up there just a little ways, and the nice paved road turned to gravel. And Dave said, "I'm sorry, I just always turn left, and I didn't think about us having to be on all these gravel roads." And we said, "All right, no problem. Keep going, we'll get there." We go up the way, and the oddest thing happened. Out in the middle of nowhere, you could see the end of the earth from there. Are you with me? Literally, almost. Are you with me? There's this lady pulled over on the side of the road. She's just standing by her car. We slow down as to not dust her, which is the custom of good people. But as we inch past her, Dave said, "Do you reckon she's got trouble? Should we check on her?" And we kind of all thought, you know, yeah, probably, you know. So we stopped and asked this woman, who had Georgia license plates, out in the middle of nowhere in Iowa, if she was having troubles. She said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, out of gas." Dave said, "Well, I got some boat gas. It's got a little oil, but it ain't going to hurt anything, you know." So he jumps out, and he's commencing to get the boat gas out. So we're looking for a funnel. We're talking to her. And through the course of that, I said, "Georgia, what are you doing in Iowa from Georgia?" She said, "I'm a missionary." So, "Oh, you're a missionary." Name was Elizabeth, by the way. I said, "Well, what's brought you here?" She said, "Well," she said, "I lost my job. And I just decided that I was going to drive around from place to place telling people about Jesus." That's what she said to me. And she ran out of gas in the middle of nowhere, Iowa. She had not tried to flag us down or nothing. It was the most odd thing I've ever seen. Right? Wasn't it pretty odd? So she said she didn't have any food or anything. So we're gathering up all of our food. We had a lot of food left over. Cans of pineapples and deer meat and apples and oranges and all the stuff. We're gathering that up to give that to her. One of the guys handed her some money to help her. We all prayed with her. Odd thing is, as we were pulling away, I wondered if we had entertained an angel unaware. I just wondered that. Pretty odd circumstance. We could have kept on driving. It was late. I looked like a lobster from being sunburnt. So did Dave. And Glenn had on suntan lot. He was the only smart one. It was getting late. The wind had been blowing all day. Man, I was tired. We could have just passed by like the priest and the Levite, but we didn't. We chose to be like the Good Samaritan. I wondered if that in some way weren't Jesus standing there wondering if he'd be fed. How are we going to treat the other people around us? Are we going to love our neighbors as ourselves? Are we going to get so busy with life? Could we have said, "Someone else will happen along"? Could have said all that. Could have reasoned that in every way in our mind, but we took opportunity. Now, here's the question. Would it have been that way if Dave and Glenn were not there to keep me accountable? What if nobody was watching? Would I have done the right thing? You see, sometimes these factors play a part of it. We want to eliminate those factors, and we want to constantly, continually, in the same way, do it the same every time the way Jesus would. treating other people the same way that we would like to be treated. The first couple of words of this passage are pretty interesting. I didn't check the other translations. New American Standard says, in everything. Now, I did a little study in the Greek, and you know what that means? In everything. How's that? Now, I did a little thinking about this, and everything includes everything. There's not one single area of everything that it doesn't talk about. In washing the dishes, in mowing the lawn, and talking to the cashier down here at the Hy-Vee store, in arguing with your spouse, in training your kids in righteousness, in all areas of life, in everything, Jesus begins. In every single thing, treat other people the way that you would want to be treated. There's no exception. There's no allowance for any extenuating circumstances. You know, we're a people that we like to justify ourselves. If the snowplow guy got snotty with me, I have every reason to jump out of my vehicle and set that man straight. I'm justified in doing it. Do we tend to be that way sometimes? I thought it. But the Lord tapped on my heart and set me straight. Then the therefore of this passage, perhaps with the mention of the law at the end, leads us to a contrast of how the scribes and the Pharisees were treating other people. And we've mentioned this before, but the scribes and the Pharisees were hypocrites, expecting of others what they would not do themselves. That's how they treated folks. They were arrogant, elevating themselves above other people. In essence, they would climb over your back if they had to get to the top. And while proclaiming godliness, the scribes and the Pharisees would pass by and leave you stranded in the ditches of life. They sought the honor of men. The scribes and the Pharisees were judgmental, hoping that you would get what you deserved. They were in it basically, in short, for what they could get out of it. With this therefore that Jesus says, it ties it to everything else he said in the Sermon on the Mount, in my opinion. In this, Jesus is calling us to remember not to treat other people like the scribes and the Pharisees treated them, with their holier-than-thou, self-righteous, judgmental mindset, not lording it over others. But there's a real key ingredient in this one single passage. It comes at the end when it says, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, when Jesus says, treating other people the same way you want to be treated, when he takes this one more step and he says, this is the law and the prophets, does that call your mind any other New Testament passage? It should. Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two depend the whole of the law and the prophets. Now I want to ask you what Jesus said there. He says more than once in the New Testament. But what he's saying is this. You want the whole picture of the law and the prophets. Here it is. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you see a common denominator in those two things? Love is the common... Folks, the key ingredient to treating other people the same way that you want to be treated, at the heart of the matter, is love. Love. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is patient. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. And what's that next little passage? Love never fails. Love is also the number one fruit of the Spirit in the fruit of the Spirit list in Galatians chapter 5. So, I want to close by saying this. As much as road rage is a problem in our world today, well, there's people rage that surround us all the time. And we're going to have a choice every day. You will not make it through today without needing this passage. You won't be able to make it the next hour without some understanding about how to treat the people around you. The people that's being good to you, it's easy to know how to treat them. But what about the turkey birds of life? Now, as fair to say, sometimes I'm the turkey bird of life. Sometimes you're the turkey bird of life. Sometimes it's a snowplow cat that's the turkey bird of life. How are we going to treat each other? I'd like to ask you to do one thing this week. I'd like for you to take a pencil and paper and describe exactly how you'd like to be treated. Because that exercise for you will do what it did for me. It will open my eyes wider to the will of God in my life. The invitation is yours this morning, and I'm not sure what needs might be here. Maybe you're reflecting on the way you've treated others or been treated. Maybe you want to just cry out to the Lord in some way. We're here to do that with you. We're here to pray with you and help in any way we can as we stand and sing.